Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Christian Sentinel Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. And we have our YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio, and Greedy Preachers TV. And we have our website, propheticnews.com. Also, if you want to email me, and I do read my emails, you can email me, susan@propheticnews.com. Also, we have our books, and last week we had a free offer to read the Seed Faith book on Kindle, and we had a good response to that, which we do want people to read the book. That's why I write them. So I was grateful that we did have quite a few people go there to read. So I'll be doing another promotion on the Paula White book and Paula White, Heretic in the White House, the miracle-selling huckster who became the spiritual advisor to the world's most powerful man. Now, I know I've said it before, but say it again. How did that happen? Oh, please, dear Lord God, help us. But the world's a crazy place, and it's getting crazier by the day, so expect anything to happen. And our topic today is we're going to talk about this so-called prophet, David Herzog, and he says some of the wackiest things. That's what happens when people they have no boundaries, and they have to just keep coming up with the next big thing, I guess. And he says the strangest things. I don't know where he gets it from, but it definitely isn't coming from the Word of God. And then there was an interesting article, and it made Newsweek, which I thought was amazing, because the headline is this. This is Newsweek magazine. Kirsten Weldon, and I never heard of her before, but she's an actress, and supposedly she's into these QAnon conspiracy theories. Probably we should do a program about this in the future, but the headline is Kirsten Weldon pushes conspiracy theory. Hillary Clinton died from cannibalism disease. So that was Newsweek actually reported on it. And so anyway, I'm going to play the audio, but I guess where they get it from is, remember before the 2016 election, WikiLeaks released those John Podesta emails, and now this wasn't a made-up story there about John Podesta and his spirit cooking, because they talked about it in the emails, and they were inviting people over with this Maria Abramovich, I think her name is, but anyway, she's like a witch artist, and they would invite people over for spirit cooking. So they did cook up some things that were very strange, which I won't go into detail here, but they probably got it from that. And so anyway, she claims that Hillary is dead, and she says that she died last year from Kuru, and Kuru, K-U-R-U, is a rare brain wasting disease associated with cannibalism. Weldon made the wild claim during a recent appearance on the far right and pro QAnon podcast, Up Front and the Pathetic. Up Front in the Prophetic, host Francine Fosdick, who I never heard of her before either, but I guess I'll learn a little bit more about her as time goes on, because I did go and listen to the audio. Francine Fosdick mentioned that another conspiracy theorist named Jean Decode Cousin Sai claimed that Clinton had been eliminated a long time ago following a tribunal in 2018. Weldon agreed that Clinton was dead, but had different ideas about the timing and manner of her death. Yeah, she passed a long time ago, Weldon said in a video shared on Friday by Right Wing Watch, a project of the progressive group People for the American Way. I don't think it was 2018. I think it was about 8 months ago she died of kuru. And that was not from, she wasn't hanged or anything. She just expired. Hillary was on stage 4. They couldn't help her. She was barely taking a breath a minute. Weldon added that German Chancellor Angela Merkel also suffered from kuru. Well, it's also been rumored, I haven't been able to prove any of that, that Angela Merkel was the daughter of Hitler. Remember, there was a movie, I can't remember the name of the movie now, but it was an interesting movie about that they actually cloned Hitler, and they had saved his sperm, and that they then had these children, and that they actually cloned Hitler. So they claimed that Angela Merkel was Hitler's daughter, which, like I said, I've never been able to get any evidence to say that. They probably got that from looking at that movie. How true? Who knows if it's true or not about Hitler's offspring? He could have some children out there. I don't remember if he does or not. Actually, if it's actually true that he does have children, but. As far as these conspiracy theories where he was cloned, and I think it was Laurence Olivier was in this movie, and anyway, I remember seeing the movie. I can't remember all the details about it, but obviously when you don't hear from them for a long time, like Podesta, John Podesta, Huma Abedin, they're seized, said Weldon. I mean, I exposed Comey 4-4 last year, and the 4 was arrested. Well, she claims that Comey disappeared too. And anyway, I don't know that much about these QAnon theories. I know I had looked at a couple of them before action, and they're wild. They were always making these wild predictions about the election being overturned. And I can tell you one thing for sure. If God wanted Trump back in office, I don't care what they would have done, he would be there today. And obviously, that wasn't in God's plan. So he's not there. And we have Mr. Biden there. And, of course, I do believe that there was election tampering. And we can see how things are falling apart right before our very eyes and in a very rapid manner. And, of course, on our dollar bill, they have the New World Order, Order Out of Chaos. So we have enough chaos going on right now. And when you think of it now, I was thinking about it the other day. Okay, it doesn't sound like a lot to have gasoline go up a dollar a gallon, but I have a 20-gallon gas tank. So that's going to cost me an extra $20 every time I fill up my tank. But I don't fill up my tank that much anyway because I don't go to I don't go out running around. And I don't care what they say about whether you're vaccinated or you're not vaccinated. And now they're going to try to segregate people that if you're vaccinated, you can sit in a certain section and then you don't have to wear a mask and you don't have to be afraid to be around people. Well, we'll see about that. Anyway, my cousin was telling me that there was her son is a police officer and one of the police officers got vaccinated and then he got sick and he was in the hospital on a ventilator and with coronavirus. And then the father, 80 years old, got vaccinated and he wound up on a respirator and he died. So there's no 100% with this thing that you can be guaranteed. The flu didn't go away. I don't care how many vaccinations they gave people. That didn't go away. And this thing is worse. And I don't think it's going away. And so I don't believe their propaganda. I just think that we should be careful, especially if we're older or you have a weak immune system. I think a lot of people will be letting their guard down now. And who knows what's going to happen. But I definitely don't trust the regular news media. And I don't trust the Biden administration to tell me the truth either. So I just have to go by my instincts and what I know to be true about pandemics and about how viruses spread. So we're in some strange times, and we have to really trust God no matter what we're going to have to go through, because we just don't know in the times that we're living in. And there's so much upheaval in the Middle East and with these gas lines and this. Just imagine, the United States government paid the ransom to open up this pipeline that was hacked into. They paid $5 million. So what's going to happen if these people just keep hacking into things and destroying things, destroying businesses and putting an end to distribution of things that people need, shutting off water supply, shutting off electrical grids? You don't know what's coming next, but they paid the $5 million ransom to get this pipeline open, which is kind of a frightening thing. So what's going to happen? Maybe they need to take these things offline and go back to doing things the old way so people can't hack in and stop the flow of gasoline. Who knows, really, though? Who knows what really went on? But because they are trying to change over from fossil fuel to these electric cars, and the Biden administration gave billions of dollars to the automakers to get them to transfer over from gasoline engines to electric engines. Personally, I don't want to be charging up a car. I don't even like to recharge batteries. You know what I mean? So I don't know if there's anybody out there that likes to do it as far as always recharging things. Remember, we used to buy those rechargeable AA batteries or AAA batteries, and then you'd put them in the charger. And so we have enough to do. And they're even saying that, I don't know if it's like 25% or 20% of the people that bought electric cars or brought them back, and they went back to gasoline. So they're going to try to force us to have these electric cars. And so they're very expensive. So what's everybody going to have to buy a new car? Yeah, it's great for the automakers because they make gazillions of dollars. But how many people can afford to buy a new car? I'm hoping that the car that I have will last me until I go to be with Jesus. That's what I'm hoping, because it's expensive to buy a new car. And now they're saying the price of steel and has gone up, and all the building materials. And it has, if you look at the new home prices, 6 months ago, you could buy a new home or build a new home for about $140,000, a small house. Now they want $160,000. So the price went up $20,000 in the last 6 months. And that's because of the cost of the raw materials. So it's crazy out there. But anyway, here's the audio of this Kirsten Weldon with the other lady from that. What was it? Upfront pathetic. Francine Fosdick. Okay, so let's listen to that.
That's great. They're crazy. They're really.
It is crazy. Hey, what's your thoughts on this tribunals with, of course, Hillary? You know, Gene Decode talked about how he believes, and I believe I got this correct, that she's been eliminated a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. She passed a long time ago.
Yeah, 2018,
wasn't
right?
Huh?
Okay. Wasn't it 2018?
I don't think it was 2018. I think it was about 8 months ago. She died of kuru, and that was not from, she wasn't hanged or anything. She just expired. And who has the third stage of that? That would be Angela Merkel shaking like a leaf.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Hillary was on stage four. They couldn't help her. So she was barely taking a breath a minute. Thank you, my Gene Decode, every Thursday on the back of.
Yeah.
2 years of Gene Decode. You've had him a long time, too. 2 years for me. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, we really appreciate him. A mighty man of God, that's for sure. Just heard, too, that Podesta is going for tribunals. Not sure. Haven't vetted that out. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, he has been seized a long time ago, along with his brother, the big pedo, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony was put out a long time ago. And obviously, when you don't hear from them for a long period of time, like, you know, Podesta, John Podesta, Huma Abedin, they're seized. I mean, I exposed, you know, Comey 4-4 last year. April the 4th, arrested. He has not been home to his house, and his family hasn't been there for over a year. So who's tweeting from his account? Of course, 4-5, we have his lover, Lisa Page, that slept with him, McCabe, and Strzok. She slept with all three of them. And then we have, you know, she was arrested 4-5, along with Strzok and along with James Clapper. Haven't heard from them for a long period of time. And then 4-6, we have the pièce de résistance, who is John Brennan, who was arrested. Hardly hear from him. Never see any rolling video. That's the secret, the rolling video. I told Lisa Page when I was tweeting against her, please put up a video of yourself with today's newspaper for you.
Yeah, right.
She got all these people on me. And then we have Christmas. Supposedly, he hasn't been talking very much either. He had to do the heavy lifting on the impeachment hoax on Trump, because they had the video of him with the little black child that expired that got Anthony Bourdain exited permanently. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And so they had that video. That would be Hillary, and that would be Nancy Pelosi. So he had to do the heavy lifting. As far as I know, he was arrested on Christmas Day in Burbank, California. So, yes, when they're not speaking, and especially if they're not doing rolling video, the funniest thing was, Jim, was it Clapper? Is it James Clapper? James Clapper, right?
Yes.
The errand boy for John Brennan. He was, when he did his last interview, which was like over a year ago, he was in this tiny room. If you look at that interview, the room looked like a tiny cell. It wasn't the color of a cell, but it was like a tiny room, very, very small, like 2x4. Wow. And he was saying, well, my wife and I are older. We don't want to catch the COVID, so we will not be doing any interviews until this is over. You're not doing any interviews, and you're in a very tiny room, incarcerated. Let's just let the truth ring true. Incarcerated. There you go. So a lot of stuff going on, folks. Our prayers are being answered.
Yeah.
The tides are changing. I listed a list of things that are happening simultaneously, and I've added to that list.
You know, it's like, well, how do you know all that? James Comey's been arrested. He hasn't been at his house. Like, did you camp out at his house for 365 days? She says, he hasn't been at him and his family haven't been at his house for over a year, she says. So they can't document these things. If you can document it, then you say it. But if you can't really document things, you can't really say it. And she says that, was it John Brennan or Jim Clapper? Well, he hasn't been seen in over a year either. And he was in a little room. Well, you don't have to see anybody to go live over the internet. You can use Zoom or any of these other programs. Nobody has to be in your house for you to do any kind of live broadcast. You can do it. So that story doesn't ring true anyway, but the dangerous part, I think, of the whole thing is that people are trying to look to political figures to save the world. Well, they're not going to, obviously. And we're not supposed to make them into messiah-like figures because they're going to disappoint us every time. You think, oh, well, here, this politician, they're going to do such great things. It's like a friend of mine was telling me about, well, you know, Rand Paul was really coming against Anthony Fauci. Well, what did he do about it? How come they didn't know that Fauci, even when President Trump was promoting him, how come they didn't know that he was doing this gain of function research, which they were doing, and the United States government at one point was funding a lab in Wuhan, China, and they were developing these viruses. So why didn't they do something about it then before they started promoting him as an authoritarian figure on who to get advice from about the coronavirus? So, yeah, they can squawk all they want now and act like they're top gun over there by questioning Fauci and asking him about it. But why weren't they asking him about it a year ago? Or trying to do something about it when the evidence was there. So the truth is hard to come by, but anyway, we can't put our faith and trust in politicians because they're going to let us down, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world, and the rest of these people, You would hope that they would do something good for the world, but I don't know if you've been around church politics much. I saw enough church politics in my life to know that I wanted to stay away from it. And it was bad enough in church with politics. Never mind in the real world with politics when you have millions of dollars at stake and fame, that kind of thing. So we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Anyway, let's listen to Leviticus 19 here, and we'll get with the rest of the audios.
Chapter 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, every one that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord, for his sin which he hath done. And the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. And in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord.
Amen. That's a good word there, let me tell you. He sure brought us out of Egypt. Amen. And notice in that scripture there, it says not to print markings on your skin, which tattoos. I don't know why people have to get tattoos. I mean, if you have a tattoo, what are you going to do? But it's the Bible says we're not supposed to do it. And also you notice that they talk about don't turn your daughter into a whore. Well, when you think about it and you think about these preachers, and we mentioned last week about the Lamb family, Marcus and Joni Lamb, and what they've done to their children. But of course, their children are old enough to stand up for themselves at this point. But you notice that a lot of these pimp preachers that sell miracles and they sell Jesus out for filthy lucre, they teach their children to do the same thing. And the Bible says don't go a-whoring after idols, and don't turn your children into people that go a-whoring after money. So these kind of people, the preachers that have no morals and they have no integrity, and then they teach their children to do the same thing, we're just avoid these people and don't support them. If a ministry doesn't have integrity, especially in the area of finances, and they're telling you to sow a seed and to give this much money and you're going to get that. I noticed they talked about in this chapter in Leviticus, the trespass offering. Well, you don't hear them talking about the trespass offering, do you? No, they don't talk about that one. They like to talk about the Passover offering and the Pentecost offering and the first fruits offering. And they don't talk about the trespass offering, which a lot of them are trespassing on sorrow of many people for filthy lucre's sake. So I think that was a great word there in Leviticus 19. It was just full of so much wisdom and instruction for us. We hope to see a change. And I noticed that since I did my video about Paula White and her birthday offering, of course, Paula White is the so-called pastor there at New Destiny, which she ripped away from the Timms family, even though Reva was divorced from Zachary. I don't know what was wrong with Zachary, why he didn't take care of his affairs any better than he did, because after he died, Paula weaseled her way in there and took over this multi-million-dollar property that was paid for. It's worth over $10 million now. And she made herself pastor for life. She can't be removed as the pastor over there. And then if something happens to her, her son takes it over. And she pushed the Timms family out, even though Zachary didn't provide for his wife and his children as far as his taking over the ministry if anything happened to him. I don't know why he didn't. Because Reva, his ex-wife, and the children were pushed aside, and then Paula White weaseled her way in. And she likes to have people call her mother. And last week, this happens a lot at her so-called church, where she likes people to call her mother. She even has the grown men there, her associate pastors, calling her mom and mother. Now, no, we're not supposed to call the pastor mother or the pastor father, or you have one mother and you have one father, and it's not the pastor and his wife. And it's not some evangelist and his wife. please. But that's a cult when they do that. And anyway, if Paulette was my mother, I'd have to rebuke her sharply, even though she's my mother, but I would have to tell her the truth that you're a scam artist and you need to stop scamming people and repent. Say, I honor you as my mother, but you have to quit lying about Jesus because it's not going to be, things won't go well for you if you keep it up. But like I said, she gets this birthday offering, and she's getting over $1 million a year there. If $5 comes into that ministry, she gets $1. And they took up a birthday offering for her, and then I made this video on YouTube about it, like, why does she need a birthday offering? She's already getting $1 million. So I see that in the last 3 weeks at her church, since that video came out, that all of a sudden they're giving things away over there. And I never saw them really do this before. They gave away a car 1 week, and now she's giving away birthday presents to other people. And they gave this lady that called her mother, I'm going to play the audio, they gave her a $500 gift certificate. Oh, it's a Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa over there. But here we go.
See, that's for Miss Gloria too, or is that a different one?
It sounds like an infomercial.
And
oh,
there's more. Miss Gloria, there's more. We're gonna give it to Elder Harold. Be blessed. Enjoy all your gifts. Come on and put your hands together for the Matriarch of the Year. I thought there was more. Come on, flowers, gifts, shopping spree, and a massager. Come on, put your hands together. She is the epitome of womanhood. Every year, you know, one size never fits all, and I'll talk about this a little bit in my message, but I love to honor a mother who has just been outstanding, who maybe has gone through some difficult times. And this woman, you don't always see her up front like you did today, but I'm telling you, she'll come in and she'll clean the church and be here, and she'll work with the babies, and I'm like, I'll come in sometimes, anytime, and you'll find her just serving the Lord. And she's like, can I clean the toilets? What can I do? Can I make phone calls? Can I pray? Yeah. Can I do this? And 2 years ago, she went through a situation that she was believing God for her marriage. But she is a single mom, not due to her choice. And she is an excellent mom. She's a mom and a woman that loves God with all her heart. And, I mean, she's blingy inside and outside. So we want to give, to pour into the Mother of the Year, we want to give this to you, Miss Yvette. So we have you, flowers, come on, gifts. And also a $500 shopping trip. Come on, put your hands together. I love you. Be blessed.
I love you.
Come on, you want to give her a microphone? Do you have anything to say? I know Yvette's going to have something to say.
Yeah.
I just want to thank God for all the love and support that I have from Mom. I know that I received this, but Mom, I love you for pouring into me and never stop praying for me. And I am a woman shaped by the impression and the influence of you. And it goes for every mother out here. I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to serve in God's house. When God comes, I want him to be finding me in his house.
Amen.
That's what I want him to say to me. I found her serving, and I just love Jesus with all my heart. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for this opportunity. This goes for you. I love you.
We love you, Yvette. Come on, put your hands together.
Oh, I love you so much. That's why I'm picking your pocket every week. Oh, I love you. I love you so much that you give me $1 million a year to preach here twice a week. What pastor is worth $1 million a year? Oh, I love you so much. And she comes and she serves and she wants to clean the toilets. Look, don't let the people in your congregation clean your toilets, okay? Hire a maintenance company. It's ridiculous. The pastor's getting $1 million a year. They're taking in $5 million a year over there, and they want volunteers to clean their toilets. It's ridiculous. Honest, what's that? The plantation over there, the Paula White plantation over there. And she's not alone. She's not alone. That, a lot of ministries do that. They want volunteers. And the Bible says if people work, you're supposed to pay them. The pastor's working, he's getting paid, but they want volunteers to come. And there's nothing wrong with volunteering, but they shouldn't take advantage of people when they can afford to pay people to do things. Especially, somebody like that. But she wants to be in the house of God. Well, God says he doesn't have a house. So you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You go there to the building to fellowship with the people, but that's not God's house. He says he doesn't have a house. You can't contain him in a building. And I'm going to play some of these David Herzog audios. And, they like to say, especially people in the Word of Faith cults, they like to say, well, you have to bring in the presence of God. And when you come to a certain area, like if you used to go to these so-called revivals that they had, Toronto Blessing and these other places where people were flocking to because God's presence was there. But I thought God was everywhere. I didn't know that he was contained in one little section, or that you could, that's kind of like Old Testament when they had a tabernacle. We don't have a tabernacle anymore. God tabernacles with his people. And so, he says that, and I'm going to find that scripture after I play this next audio, where God says, I don't have a house. You can't contain God in a building. But, I mean, that poor little brainwashed lady there with her mom, and I love you so much, and I'm just so happy to come to God's house, and I hope when he finds me, I hope when God finds you, you come out of that fog you're in over there. It's terrible. It's poor people. Poor people. But here's something interesting that this David Herzog, crazy. Let me just say one more thing before we get into the David Herzog thing. A friend of mine was telling me that Dave Ramsey, and he's the financial guru or whatever, anyway, he's worth gazillion dollars. He's put a $16 million mansion up for sale. There's big business in telling people about their finances, but of course he teaches you have to give 10% in order to get financial blessings, which that's not true. And so basically he's a false teacher. He's got some good principles about how to deal with your finances, but that's a wrong teaching. And but he's having this conference, this leadership conference, and one of the guest speakers is going to be George W. Bush. Now, what's that all about? And then he has this guy called, I think it's Marcus Buckingham. I'm going to play this audio. And he's like the thought police or something. He's going to teach on thoughts. Like, what? That kind of sounds new age, right? Anyway, let's listen to this audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce the father of the strengths revolution, Marcus Buckingham.
I don't do this. I may never do this again, but I'm going to go completely off script today. Wait and see. Wait and see, you guys. Most of the time, we seem to think that excellence is just the opposite of failure. And if you want to understand excellence, you should study failure and invert it. So in order to learn about health, we study disease. In order to learn how to keep our employees and keep them engaged, we do exit interviews with the ones that leave. Everywhere you look, we seem to think that good is just the opposite of bad. And if you want good, you should study bad and flip it. We're wrong. If you study bad and flip it, you just get not bad. The power of human nature is that each human's nature is unique. That is not a bug to be fixed. That is a feature to be maximized. We know you grow more synaptic connections in those parts of your brain with the most pre-existing synaptic connections. We know that. Learning is like growing new buds on existing branches.
Now, what is that? That's Marcus Buckingham. Anyway, he's going to be one of the speakers there at Dave Ramsey's leadership conference, which my friend tells me something like it's going to cost $1,000 or $2,000 for a ticket. Or I wasn't able to verify it today because I'm sure he did his research when he was telling me about it. But I looked over on the website. I was trying to see what the fee was to attend this conference, and as soon as I can verify it, I will, and I'll let you know about it next week. But it's some kind of outrageous fee for this leadership conference, and he's got this guy there, this Marcus Buckingham, which is the father of the thought, how to think. That sounds new age. And listening to that audio and listening to some of his other audios on the internet, it sounds like a bunch of new age babble. So what's wrong? What's happening over there with Dave Ramsey? I think it's going to lead to some other investigation. Amen. Something else that we have to look into. But 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Amen. So we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus doesn't live in a building. He lives in his people, and like I said, it's okay if you want to go to the building and have fellowship with the saints. There's nothing wrong with that, but God is not just there in the building. I know people like to say that if you go over to this evangelist meetings and you go over to this church, that God is going to be there and the glory of God is going to be there. But here's that now, right? Doesn't the Bible say that we're supposed to love our enemies? Well, David Herzog, he's got quite another take on what he wants to happen to his enemies. And I thought it was a little strange what he wanted to have happen to his enemies. It was a little strange. He said that he wanted to have his enemies decapitated. Well, I thought that was a little odd, but here's David Herzog. David Herzog says that you can change your IQ, and you could also change your DNA.
To be a musician, the mind, to speak different foreign languages. Are you saying that can be? Those, so they have good genes for that. Are you saying we can rearrange our DNA?
There are some times where you have no gift at all in a certain area, and you break the curse off your bloodline, and you liberate the blessings off your bloodline with the blood of Jesus, and suddenly you have abilities you did not have before. They were encapsulated in your DNA, but they weren't liberated. Like, I started learning languages way faster. Normally it would take me a lot longer to pick up Russian or German, and all of a sudden, in a few weeks, I was picking like 3 or 4 languages conversationally, which it would take me way longer. Even my IQ went up. Something happen. Like, здравствуйте, как поживаете? Хорошо, хорошо, спасибо, comrade.
Sounds good
picking,
to me.
I just start picking, I mean, I know the accent's probably bad, but I was just picking it up a lot faster. And my Stephanie tells me about this in Daniel, God showed her, that your IQ goes up in the glory. Because Daniel said he was 10 times smarter, wiser than all the other men that were there in the king's palace. And he didn't say studied more. He said God gave him all manner of wisdom, understanding, literature. So even your IQ can go up in the glory.
Tell me about Israel. What do you see happening there?
I see in Israel what's going to come, and what's already starting is a massive move of God, a revival. Many, many Israelis are going to come to know their Jewish Messiah, Yeshua.
I don't know, David. I don't think so. David, after I play some of these audios and we hear some of the things that come out of your mouth, I don't know, David, about your IQ, honestly, because I've heard some ridiculous things in my life, but listening to these audios, I think I've heard. Now, here's where he says that bald people can grow hair in his meetings. Now, if he had the secret, if he really had the miracle working power to cure baldness, he would never have to work another day in his life because he would be a trillionaire if he could do that. So I don't know why he hasn't packaged this thing.
Before the word was even commonly used, if I can use such a word as common. And David, I'm never going to forget what I'm about ready to tell you. I am never. I saw one of the most amazing miracles. I went to a meeting that David Herzog had, and he was speaking, and I was seated with the audience, and the woman in front of me had nice, long, gray hair. And I'm watching David, and David says something like, and some of you will lose weight, some of you, your hair will actually change color, some of you will get hair. And I'm thinking, boy, I'd really like to see that. I haven't seen that before. And the lady in front of me, David, her hair was beautiful gray, and I saw a streak in the gray of brown. And then it started getting more brown. But the thing that takes the cake is your unsaved Jewish, David's a Jewish believer in Jesus, your unsaved Jewish father, what happened to his hair?
Yeah, he was balding and hair started growing on one of his, I think just watching online, watching one of my programs. I can't remember if it was in the meeting or not, and he started growing hair.
Now, take me back to the beginning of when you even knew what the glory was. In fact, let's start even there. What is your definition from the Bible and your experience of the glory? What?
I don't know. I mean, this guy should be a trillionaire. He should be on every network in the world. He can cure baldness. And he can turn your gray hair brown. Oh, dear. No, you can't make it up. David, I don't know what's going on over there. Okay, Acts 7:48. This is the scripture I was looking for, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the ways of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do we. So if anybody tells you that you're going over to a building and that's the house of God, no, that's not true. That's not true. So they need to take a little Bible lesson, but Let's listen to more. Now, here's David Herzog talking about how you can get body parts.
But if you speak words in the glory realm, it's instant. Now, David, you have had people that are bald get their hair back. You have had people that lose instant weight loss. How many pounds is the maximum that someone has lost?
We had a guy in Jackson, Tennessee lose 70 pounds in one meeting.
70 pounds. That's almost hard. I mean, he was almost not there anymore.
Well, he was still there because he was still pretty heavy. But still, he lost huge. He ran around. I said, someone here, you're about to lose a lot of weight. Get out of your seat and run. The guy takes off running. It's like a Mack truck was coming through the room. Everyone moved out of the way. And when he grabbed his pants, there was so much space in between. He weighed himself 70 pounds. He had another guy, 60 pounds. But then a few weeks later, he went to get his trucking license, had to get a physical. And by the time he had lost a 60, 4 weeks later, he had lost actually 100. They said, no, sir, you've lost now 100 pounds. So it kept going off after the first weight loss.
Well, I've been at one of your meetings, and before my eyes, I saw a woman's hair change color. Why do these such unique things happen in your ministry?
Well, I noticed one thing. I asked the Lord years ago, Lord, how come we don't see more creative miracles? Everyone's in a healing ministry, but where are the body parts being recreated? And God told me, because my people don't see me as the creator, they don't preach me as the creator, I don't manifest creative miracles. But if they would see me not just as the healer, but as the creator, that I'm still the creator, I would manifest as creator. If we would see him as creator, worship him as creator, and preach him as creator, he'll confirm that word with the accompanying creative miracle sign.
Oh, dear. I think he's a little confused. That's what I think. What Christian doesn't see God as a creator? Oh, this guy, really, he can turn your gray hair brown. He's got the secret to weight loss that somebody in his meeting lost 70 pounds right there in the meeting, lost 70 pounds. He's got the secret to weight loss. He's got the cure for baldness. What's this guy doing just going around to these little meetings that he has when he could be all over the world, world famous for all these things that are happening, supposedly, but this stuff is crazy. Anyway, here again about his weight loss.
Have you ever seen weight loss like that? Have you ever seen it before?
No, it's powerful. Okay, that way the devil won't steal it. Now, what is happening to you?
I'm shrinking.
You're losing weight instantly?
Disappearing.
Right here in Jerusalem?
Can't.
What is happening?
I'm getting smaller. I think these are going to fall down.
So if you don't hold your pants up, do you think they're going to fall?
Definitely.
How much do you think you lost as far as dress sizes, maybe?
I don't know, but easy. Thank you, Lord.
Now, that's awesome. Weight loss.
Weight loss.
How many of this is the first time you have seen instant weight loss in your life? So what it means is that there's a newer glory than you've known before, so there's newer miracles. New glory, new miracles. Old glory, same. Now, others of you, I would check your waist, because others of you might get it just as she's testifying. That's powerful. How many can see, obviously, something's happening here? We had in St. Martin, a woman, the same thing happened. She was holding her pants down here. And I said, why? She says, my underwear went. And I don't know what to do. It was embarrassing. I think the Lord has a sense of humor. Maybe it's not very orderly to you, but God loves it. Praise God. Lord, more. Let her lose so much weight that they won't recognize her when she gets back.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. It's crazy. Can you imagine? I don't know how much he had to pay those ladies to get up and say what they were saying, because there's no way that you go to a meeting with some prophet and 20 or 30 pounds just come instantly off of your body. That doesn't happen. So I don't know how much he paid those ladies to say it. I don't believe a word of it. Here's more David Herzog.
Downs, but we were able to preach. Most of these people from all over Mexico flew in. A lot of them were leaders and pastors, but also just lay people and unsaved. And this is the first time they had church in 6 months, probably, because they were locked down all over Mexico, and it just started to open for them. So it was kind of like to kickstart the nation back up. So an apostle invited me. He brought hundreds of pastors from all over the country, and they had to wear masks. We weren't wearing masks, but most of them were wearing masks because the health department. So it was kind of stringent. We came in. They were spraying us down and all this stuff just to get into the building because they had to. But when we got there, the glory exploded. They were so held back for so long, and God was like, salvations were happening. They were unsaved. I was getting like miracles, cataracts, healed tumors, but names of people, names of streets where they lived, names of the former church where we were meeting. I don't speak Spanish, and I was getting these names. And I said, what's the avenue of whatever? And the apostle goes, that's where we just left. And it was all these things, and the pastors had never seen that in Mexico. They just don't see that stuff as often. And then the miracles, people crying, my hair grew out, I lost weight, my metal plates are gone. All these kind of things are happening.
No, I have to witness to the fact I was in a line behind someone at one of David's meetings, and the guy said, he just turned around and started talking to me, and he said, see where my belt is right now? Look at the hole where it was before I came to this conference. So, I mean, this is talk about investigative reporting. This is evidence before your very eyes. David, you make the statement, and I do too, I might add. If two or more agree touching any one thing, it's ready to happen. We're headed towards the most powerful visitation from God, the presence of God, the glory on planet Earth that this world has ever seen. And you say that God has shown you to focus between two feasts, the feast of Passover and the feast of Shavuot, or.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, David. Wow, this guy's something. Amazing. Now, here he's had the dead raised, even. Here he's had the dead raised.
His name is David Herzog. He had an outreach for Jewish people, and he had a Jewish man that was bald, and he started growing hair.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, really, can you picture an unsaved Jewish man growing hair, bald? And then he came to Jesus.
You know, I was talking to David Herzog. He has events at all the major biblical feasts because he has found that they're really portals or passageways to heaven. And so he was having one of his feasts, I believe it was Pentecost.
Yeah.
And your worship leader, what happened?
Yeah, the first night, I'm supposed to speak after the worship. The first night, the worship leader gets up within about half an hour or less. He drops dead in front of everybody during the whole conference.
Now, that's quite a start for the conference.
Yeah. Yes. And I was thinking, this is not a good start for the conference or for the meeting I have to do right after this.
Wow.
And he dropped dead. He died twice in 20 to 30 minutes, foaming at the mouth, dilating, not breathing. Everyone was trying to help him. I was praying. Others were praying for him to come back. Others trying to do CPR. Then he came back a little bit, and then he died again. Then the paramedics came, and the Lord told me, tell them to keep the worship going and not get the people to panic. So we just kept it going while all this was happening. And the paramedics walked in the room, and they said they felt the presence of God. And they're not believers, most of them, only one out of like 10 of them. And he rose from the dead twice. He had the Widowmaker heart attack, which you don't come back from, twice in 20, 30 minutes. And they said they've never seen such a miracle like that. I mean, he shouldn't be alive at all.
When you speak, I've noticed, there is such a dramatic increase in the presence of the glory of God, but it really, something major happened to you in Israel in the upper room. What happened?
Yeah, I went to Israel, my first trip to Israel. I go there, and suddenly I find myself on the floor weeping under the power of God, and God starts to speak to me and says, now your ministry begins from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And I didn't understand it at the time, but looking back, that's really where all these glory experiences, revival, miracles, everything started right there in Jerusalem in the upper room.
Now, we talk a lot about the word glory. What does that word really mean? What is the glory of God?
Yeah, the glory is the manifest presence of God as if you were in heaven right now, but while being on the earth, the atmosphere of heaven all around you, yet while on the earth.
And in the glory, miracles take place. Unusual miracles.
Yeah.
I mean, I have personally shared this several times, but it's so overwhelming to me. I was speaking at one of David's events, and the woman in front of me, she had hair like mine, gray hair. And I'm watching her as she's worshiping God, and before my eyes, I could see the gray turning brown. And I understand that's not unusual.
Yeah, we've seen that a lot in our meetings, even completely bald heads growing hair, creative miracles, tattoos coming off, people growing taller we've seen that were unusually short for their age, and of course the regular miracles, healings and paralytics and all that.
Tell me about that man with the new heart. That really is amazing to me.
I was in a meeting, and the Lord told me, I want you to declare right now a time reversal, that I will reverse time 20 to 30 years back on someone's body part, on their heart. And I said, there's a man here, you're older, you've had several heart attacks. God's showing me he's reversing your heart time clock backwards before you ever had a heart problem. And a man started to open his shirt. He didn't feel any more pain. All the stents were gone. And even the incisions and the cuts from all his surgeries were no longer there, as if he had never had a heart problem.
That is amazing. So you prayed to reverse time?
Yeah, because Joshua did it with the sun. God just told me, I want you to command time reversal on body parts.
Now, one of the things I love about David's ministry in the glory is there is no...
Now, wow. Can you imagine that? Time reversal on body parts. Like... when you're 70, you're going to look 30? Yeah. Wow. Time reversal on body parts. And then he says that the worship leader dropped dead in his service. And it sounds like for the first 20 minutes or so, they didn't call the paramedics. That's what it sounded like to me, that they were trying to revive him themselves. And then the second time he dropped dead, it sounds like they called the paramedics. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, like I've said before, I don't want to come back. I don't want anybody raising me from the dead if I die. I don't want to come back here, and I don't want people trying to get me to come back here, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. So Jesus raised people from the dead, and that was a sign and a wonder. But as far as most of us Christians, probably people that we love, we'd like to see them come back. Yeah, but people that go to heaven, they don't want to come back here. Who wants to come back here after you're in heaven and you're seeing all your loved ones and you see Jesus and you see the Father? And so this guy, he's got more stories. Now, he says that people were actually short, people were growing taller. Yeah. Like I said, why isn't this guy on CNN and Fox and all the morning shows and all the other shows, and he's not on the cover of Newsweek, and why didn't he get the Nobel Peace Prize? And I mean, there's no stopping this guy. He can do everything. He can do, you name it. And it can happen. Here's the David Herzog on giving.
So there's different realms, like Malachi, test me in the giving. Mm-hmm. If my people humble themselves, repent, turn from the wicked ways, that brings the glory. 24/7 Tabernacle David. So there's different, like, it's like a car, and sometimes people run on all eight cylinders. Like Pensacola broke it in through the repentance.
Yeah.
They repented and something opened up.
Right.
Hillsong in Australia, it's the worship.
Yeah.
That brings something. So,
mm-hmm.
But if you can get as many of those elements into one meeting,
yeah.
Man, you got a phenomenal open heaven.
That's interesting. So, you know, what we're talking about right now is ways to break open that realm of glory,
mm-hmm.
ways to access it.
Yeah.
And you just listed some really key things right there.
Mm.
Number one, living a holy life.
Totally.
Having that spirit of repentance
mm-hmm.
that welcomes God's glory into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Then you talked about giving.
Totally.
Now, have you been in meetings where when, as people sowed and gave, something broke open in the spirit?
Well, you know I have, but you're asking me because you're the host.
I'm asking because...
I know.
Yeah.
Many times, all around the world, even third world countries, people will begin to give a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Not just give like normal. They'll just start going, I'm going to give my all. I want to give a huge sacrifice. And when people start doing that, something shifts in the spirit realm.
Mm.
Something
mm.
begins to happen. I was in France and it happened. In fact, God told me to start it.
Yeah.
He said to me, give your car away to the pastor. I was in my first time I had done this. And God started teaching me on how to break into the glory realm. I said, what does my giving have to do with the glory? He said, everything.
Mm.
Test me in the giving and see if I don't open the windows. So it's not just like give money, you'll get money, like
mm-hmm.
a lot of faith teachings teach that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's beyond that. It's test me in the giving and I'll open heaven. When
wow.
heaven comes, you have everything else.
Wow.
Money comes in, the favor comes in, the healing comes in. So it's just whatever it takes to get that glory, giving's one of them.
Mm.
So I said, Lord, I'm so desperate. How do I get Acts 4 glory where my shadows heal the sick?
Yeah.
I fasted. I repented of everything I think of. I've been worshiping for 10 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, give me your car. And it was the one thing I had a hard time giving because I was a missionary. And
yeah.
it was 3 years to get a car. And he goes, just give it tomorrow. And the pastor was a missionary too. I said, oh, Lord, this is, are you sure? It's you? So I just went and did it.
Yeah.
Got up in the morning, and my wife was in agreement, preached. Nothing happened until I gave the car. I'm preaching and preaching. It's just the deadest service until I give the car.
Wow.
Heaven's open. People are weeping. Miracles,
wow.
signs, wonders exploding. And
wow.
they started giving. French people started giving like they've never given before.
Wow.
And what happened as a result, God said to me, now I can trust you with my glory. And within about a week or two, huge doors open across Europe,
wow.
television, crusades. That church got a breakthrough. All their building was paid off.
Mm.
All the people unemployed had jobs. Now that church has about 40, 50 churches under their covering from that one service.
Wow.
And they were about to lose their one little church they had.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's a huge.
That's a real key right there. It reminds me of the scripture in the book of Acts where Cornelius was a devout man,
mm-hmm.
but he prayed and he gave alms.
Yeah.
And the Bible says it was lifted up like a memorial to heaven, and it captured the eye of God
exactly.
to the point where God visited him, his whole family. They all got saved, and then from that, the release of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came to the Gentiles.
He was the first Gentile convert in the New Testament.
That's right.
And the two ingredients, the two of the four I listed, he prayed a lot and gave a lot.
Wow.
The two together. When you mix
wow.
the two elements together, either or you fast and pray all day
yeah.
while worshiping.
Yeah.
If you mix that with holiness and with giving, oh, man, you're pretty sure to get open.
Wow. That's we're talking about serious keys right now to breaking into the glory of God, living a holy life, a repentant spirit, fasting, giving, worshiping. There is so much to.
Yeah, there you can create an open heaven. You can just by your giving, and when you give, you notice he says, and he, of course he misquotes it because he says he got a higher IQ because. From all the time he spends in prayer and worship. And but yet he doesn't realize that he says God will open the windows of heaven when you give. Well, when the Bible talks about opening the windows of heaven, the Bible's talking about rain. The Bible doesn't talk about raining money down from heaven that all of a sudden when you give, it sets off all these fireworks and everything. And then heaven opens up and then God just starts giving you money back. But obviously, David hasn't really read his Bible the way he should, and really he needs to repent and change his wicked ways because he's managed to get himself so far out there in La La Land to come up with all these stories and fairy tales because I wonder if he's been able to actually document any of these things with solid evidence to back up the claims because he also says that he could tell people their names and their addresses. Well, I don't need anybody to tell me my name. I know my name. I don't need anybody to tell me my address because I know my address. So just because somebody tells me my, if I go to a meeting and somebody tells me my name and my address, that doesn't mean they're a prophet because I already know my name and my address. And you might have people, they go to these prophets and these prophetesses and they have a word for you and they're going to tell you about your life and they're going to tell you what you're supposed to do. But God is supposed to tell me, like he's supposed to tell me first. And then maybe you, somebody else can confirm it, confirm a word. But I wouldn't. I would definitely not go running around looking for some to get a word from somebody about my life because I'm supposed to hear from God for myself about my life. And I've had people tell me things and tell me, well, it was God that's telling me to tell you this. But God didn't tell me, so, I could pray about it. But if God didn't tell me, then he didn't tell them. And I think he would also have to confirm it by letting me know what he wanted me to do with my life. So they like to say, now, I don't know if anybody here, maybe we're just not that spiritual, but I've never spent 10 hours just sitting someplace worshiping God. And I think God wants us also to have a life. And I don't know of anybody that spent 10 hours worshiping God. And he also says that he spends 8 hours sometimes in prayer. And I never spent 8 hours in prayer in my life. I've been a Christian over 40 years, but no, I never spent 8 hours in prayer. I think I would run out. What do you say? And didn't Jesus talk about that? Didn't he rebuke the, rebuking the Pharisees, was it, at one point, and saying, yeah, you like to have long prayers, and you like to show off. And so even if I prayed 8 hours, I certainly wouldn't be telling everybody to draw attention to myself about, look how spiritual I am. I pray 8 hours, and I spend 10 hours in the presence of God. So you're trying to make yourself spiritual so that people will look at you and say, wow, look how spiritual they are. And I guess everything they're telling me must be true, like about the bald people getting hair and the short people growing tall and the instant weight loss. Oh, yeah. So they say these things because they're trying to puff themselves up to make themselves look more credible and more believable. But we don't have to puff ourselves up. Because we're nothing without God. Nothing. We're not supposed to go around just, you know, blowing our own horn about how great we are and look at all the things that happen when we come in the room. And so, no, that's pride. It's pride. Without God and without Jesus, we're nothing. We would be nothing without him. Everything we have is because of him. And so we give him all the glory. He's the savior. He's the healer. And David Herzog and his wife, they need to step back for a while and reexamine themselves to see if they're really in the faith. Because if I had that kind of a ministry, I would sit myself down for a long time. Because for me, when I came out of Word of Faith in 1997, and I decided I wasn't going back into the ministry, no, until God opened up a door, if he was ever going to open up a door. But I wasn't going to go back into ministry until I had everything straightened out with the Lord before I would go out and teach other people if I couldn't have my doctrine straightened out. So I didn't have any intention of going back into public ministry. After I left, every door slammed in my face, which I knew would happen after I decided I wasn't buying into the seed faith and that whole Word of Faith gospel. But when God opened the door for this radio program, and I know the Lord had been speaking to me. It was probably 5 years. It was a long time after I came out of the Word of Faith before I had any kind of a public ministry. It was 2009. I came out of Word of Faith in 1997. It was 2009 when I went on the radio. And I guess it might have been, I think I put up a website maybe in 2003 or 2004. And so it took a long time for me to ever have any kind of a public ministry again. But when the Lord opened this door for this radio program, and I decided, well, I knew that it was an open door because in the beginning on Blog Talk Radio, you could have 15 minutes a day, and you can still have 15 minutes a day if there's anybody out there that wants a radio ministry and you need to get started and you need to practice or whatever. You could get 15 minutes a day for free. And so you could start off with 15 minutes and get trained in radio. And it's a great way to start. And then later on, as you get more time, then you pay for the time. But it's definitely worth it because you can have a big audience and you don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to sell your soul out to preach the gospel like a lot of these people do. But if God wants you to have a ministry, he's going to pay for it. He'll take care of it. You don't have to beg, borrow, and steal. You don't have to give your way into success. You give because you love people and because you want to help somebody else, not because you want to help yourself. And that's the Christian way to give. Anything else that people tell you is really, it's not true. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we love people. We like to bless people. Not because we want to be seen of men. We're not supposed to put on a big show like you see Paula White there putting on the big show, and she's giving away cars and she's giving away gift certificates and she's giving away these spa things and they're giving awards. No, you're not supposed to blab about your giving and to be seen before all men. So that's not scriptural either. But of course, most of these people, they want to get noticed and they want you to say, wow, what a wonderful person that is, because look at all the things they give away. And they only give it away to get good publicity. I think there was a reporter in the so-called church. I don't like to call Paula White's fleecing center a church, but the day that they gave away this car, there was somebody there with a professional-looking camera around his neck, and he was taking pictures. So it probably was a reporter. And of course, they wanted to do it when they could get publicity, because I don't remember them. Of course, I don't watch every service, but I don't remember them giving away a car. I think she was trying to cover up, like I said, for the bad publicity on her birthday offering, which I don't know how much she got. They finally handed her a check, and she put it into her greedy little hands. I mean, how much do you want? How much do you want? Imagine preaching two sermons a week and making $1 million. But that's it. Keep those tithes and offerings rolling in. And you too can have the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Amen. But no, we want to serve God out of a pure heart and to do what is right in the sight of God. And we hope that through our programs and through the things that we do, that we can affect a change in the church as it is today, and to help people to do the right thing and to read God's word, to stay close to the Lord, to always have a repentant heart, and We have to stand out as the body of Christ. We have to stand out, and not to stand out in a bad way. We want to stand out in a good way that people can see a difference in us. There should be a difference from the world, amen. That when they look at us or they see us, they shouldn't laugh at us and say, "Oh, there goes that swindler," or "There goes that con artist." No, we hope that they would say, "Yeah, there's something different about that person." And maybe it does have something to do with the fact that they're a Christian. We hope. We hope that we can affect a change for the good. Amen. Anyway, that's our program for today. I want to thank all my guests for stopping by in the chat room, everybody. And thanks all my listeners too around the world, my listeners in the United Kingdom that I visited many times. Over 30 times I visited the United Kingdom, and South Africa, visited that country once too. And our listeners in Canada. Now, I haven't been to Canada since I was a little girl, so it's been a long time since I've been there. And we have listeners in Australia. I haven't been there to Australia, but I'm not getting on any airplanes. I love the fact that I could preach the gospel right from home. I did enough traveling in my life, and I'm not doing any more traveling. So those days are over. But anyway, we want to thank everybody for tuning in and for being a faithful listeners, all my friends. God bless you. Thank you, everybody. And remember, the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the miracle worker. And he gives us all good things. And all we have to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Ask Jesus to come into your life and to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10 says. So we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to give us a brand new life. And we know that's true. For us that have been born again, we know that the born-again experience is real, and God takes an old, messed-up life, and he makes something beautiful out of it. Nobody can do that except our Savior. God bless you all, and thanks for stopping by. Bye-bye.